My father requested that that song be sung at his funeral, and even though the title of the piece, Come Sweet Death, and its somber tones, could sound a bit, well, funereal, most of us here know that the death of Hugh Nibley was a very sweet one indeed. He'd been looking forward to it for literally years and was quite eager to find his days quite truly numbered. I've always known that he never doubted that death was the next great and infinitely better stage of his existence than this life. He probably has one tiny regret that he isn't here physically to put the fun back in funeral. So I'll do a little bit for him. I do think he'd be put off if we stayed very serious. But we all know he's very, very happy right now. As he told my niece more than 2 years ago, every night I go to bed thinking, this could be it. This could be the night. Tonight could be the night. And every morning I wake up and think, damn. I think last Thursday he woke up and said, yeehaw. I happen to know that just for mundane and academic curiosities, he had a stack of questions, let alone about the mysteries, but his questions about sciences and math, and especially astronomy, he took with him, I think. I have a few of my own I want him to help me with, the name of the Beowulf poet, for one, and that whole Joan of Arc thing. In graduate school, I had a friend tell me, "We Christians all believe in life after this life, but you Mormons are the only ones I know packing for the trip." Daddy had a very well-packed bag. Having spent his life so deeply entrenched in the Western world of effort and accomplishment, having worked and worked and worked for so many years, he spent his last two or so unlearning to work, or learning to unwork, learning the far more Eastern mysteries of being instead of doing, of effortlessness and non-resistance, of receiving his own helplessness with a grace and a patience that I had never seen in him when I was growing up. It was strange these last months to think that this smiling, peaceful, non-fidgeting little man with the calm, pleasantly resigned expression was the same guy who had been so driven and intense when I was a kid. Later in the program, you'll hear my Uncle Reed play the piano. He's good and everything, but I'll tell you what, my dad was way faster. I think my favorite thing to see him wrestle with was the conflict he had, knowing how pride was so dangerous, and yet here he was in the academy, a place and a profession that virtually insists upon arrogance. He knew it was deadly, and yet he also knew he had things worth listening to, things worth teaching to people. So he loved especially that he had the chance many times to do assignments anonymously. He told me once that the projects he had contributed to that were the most worthwhile were those that he could not take credit for. "I know," I said, "because Mom did all the pregnancies." When my family went home from my parents' house last Thursday, we were driving through the little South Provo neighborhood where we live, and a disturbance up the street caught our attention. There on 1350 East, in the middle of the afternoon, a herd of pretty little mule deer ran through the yards, their hoofs clattering on the roads and sidewalks and driveways of the houses. We slowed the car to watch, and as soon as I had counted, 9, I said, "One for each of Daddy's kids, his deers, including the brother we lost." As soon as I figured that out, the herd turned down a driveway and sprinted out of sight. As virtuous men pass mildly away and whisper to their souls to go, while some of their sad friends do say the breath goes now, and some say no, so let us part and make no noise. No tear floods nor sigh tempests move. 'Twere profanation of our joys to tell the laity our love. That is so much better than Thomas's rage against the dying of the light. The light for Hugh Nibley just keeps getting brighter.